In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart in call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 138, the final episode of 2023. John Senecal is here. I'm Brian Shackman. And let's talk a little bit about year end and looking into the future.
Predicting the future.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, here we are. Like, go back in the Wayback Machine 12 months ago and see if you can remember your mindset. And then look at where you are now. Like, for me, going into the season, I thought the Red Sox would be very average. You know, I bet my boss, though, that they would finish over 500. And I was right until the last 3 weeks of the season, and I lost that bet. So they ended up worse than I expected, but not by a whole lot. But your expectations were higher, weren't they?
I think I picked the Yankees to go to the World Series.
Which is just dumb, loyal fan crap.
Yeah, that was fandom. But, I mean, obviously didn't expect Aaron Judge to go down with the stupid wall in right field in Dodger Stadium. But definitely a disappointing year for Yankee fans by no means, obviously. I mean, geez, you fought the Red Sox for the basement the whole season, and you barely made it. You know, you scratched above 500.
Played pretty good the last 2 weeks, right? And then
got a little bit exciting when Jason Dominguez and some of the young players showed up, but then he got hurt. It was like the Yankees had a really good stretch. Judge got hurt, and then they had like a 3 week stretch where they were exciting and kind of relevant, and then everything just kind of fizzled out the last three or four weeks of the season.
You know, just so people know on the podcast, you know, when we go into the new year. In the off season, we plan to come on. We're not going to come on until there's either major news or we get guests. You know, we're not going to just come out here and repeat ourselves over and over. So, just so you know, anything that comes into 2024, it's either going to be major news peg or guests. We're working on a couple of people, and I think we might even get Joe West on, who just barely missed the Hall of Fame. And we
Cowboy got, Joe West.
That'd be a really interesting conversation.
Yeah,
and so I look forward to stuff like that, and we may even check in with some folks we've talked to in the past.
You talk major news, though, but I'm thinking, like, what's going to be the next major news? Because after Ohtani and Yamamoto have been off the board, and, of course, all the hype about the Soto trade, you know, there's not much hype left out there. I mean, there's two pitchers left. One's a reigning Cy Young Award winner, but has so many question marks. And another one is a former Yankee
Jordan Montgomery is the one you're talking about.
Jordan Montgomery and Snell. And everyone's questioning, like, well, why would the Yankees bring him back? Because they got rid of him. And why would he want to come back to New York? But then all along, at least I'm thinking, he should go to Boston right now.
Right, because his wife works there, as everybody seems to know by now.
And the Red Sox, I mean, listen, the Red Sox need pitching. Let's be honest. Everybody could use pitching, but the Red Sox need pitching.
I'll just tell you that I am completely, I've changed my mindset. You know, at first I was like angry, and then I was sort of resigned. And now it's like I actually feel good in the sense that I feel like a burden's been lifted off of me, that I don't have this commitment and I don't feel like I have to and being involved in all this stuff. And now I'm released. Like, I can go to Baltimore and see the Sox play in Baltimore. I can maybe take a trip to Toronto. Like, I feel like there's stuff I can do baseball-wise that the kids will be more excited to do, and we'll just have to see. I have zero expectations, and I don't even really care when it comes to this. When they pick up Jordan Montgomery, am I all of a sudden going to think they're going to win it? No, they're not even close. And, you know, so I've written off next year already. And, you know, maybe I'll come back and it'll be one of those classic for the last 10 years. It's either worst or first. You know, I mean, there's no middle ground with these clowns. But for me, I'm actually more interested intellectually, because I think the Red Sox is a done deal. I think they're going to be bad. The Yankees, if they stay healthy on offense, could be phenomenal. I don't know anything about what they have for pitching depth or whatever, but you said the Red Sox need pitching. I think the Yankees would probably need pitching.
Well, the Yankees' pitching is about the health. They have the pitching. It's just about staying healthy.
That's who's their, I mean, outside of.
They got Cole. They got Rondon.
Yeah, but outside of Garrett Cole.
They got Nasty Nestor Cortez. They got Clark Schmidt. And then they got to figure out who the fifth one is because they traded Michael King.
But you really got to come in with like. The one thing I learned from watching the Red Sox over the years, you need at least like six plus starters, maybe seven.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to go down.
Oh, absolutely. And what if Cole goes down? I mean, that's why they wanted Yamamoto so bad. And then, you know. What's your take on the whole myth that they weren't going to offer him more than what Cole's contract was? That's why the Yankees didn't give him more money. They wanted to make sure that Cole had the bigger contract, which is a total bunch of BS in my opinion, because Yamamoto wound up with the biggest pitching contract anyways in baseball. Not the Yankees, obviously, but the biggest pitching contract.
Yeah, and I don't buy it because I think that the players understand. I mean, Cole's contract is how old?
Like 3 years, 4 years?
That's like a lifetime ago. Exactly. In contracts. I mean, I don't buy that at all. I also don't buy Yamamoto saying he might have gone with the Dodgers even if Ohtani didn't
Without
sign
Ohtani,
there.
Right?
That's a bunch of crap in my opinion. But listen, it doesn't matter. The guy's going to L.A. and baseball's going to have to do a lot of work to get me interested because I just think this – I'm going to be – Is there anybody outside of LA who's rooting for the Dodgers? I mean, I think they've become the, you know, the Yankees were the evil
everyone's
empire.
Root against them.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to hate the Dodgers because of what they're doing. And it would be amazing if the Diamondbacks or the Padres could snap out of it and just stick it to them because I feel that's how I feel. I'm going to cheer against them. Totally.
Do you see other teams? And when I say other teams with the means, the bigger teams, or I mean, even some of the smaller teams. Do you see this, what the Dodgers did with Ohtani's contract becoming a trend? Now, I know there's been deferred payments for years. The Bobby Bonilla contract, and I'm sure before that, Ken Griffey Jr. still getting paid by the Reds. But I'm talking about big money. I'm not talking about like, oh, we'll defer 1% or we're going to give you $1 million a year. I'm talking about the Ohtani kind of dollars where there's like literally 85, 90% of your contract is deferred.
Well, the thing that I think about is it. First of all, if you do it as a habit with multiple players, it's going to get you in a ton of trouble down the road. That's obvious. And what I think about is, well, what if you don't care and you're going to sell the team or something? But then I think that anyone with their due diligence would be able to see what is down the road. So I think if you think about it from a franchise value standpoint, I think you could see a little bit of it. But I think as a habit, you can't do too much of it because if you go into a season, say 10 years from now, and you have, and again, the millions don't matter because they're going to change, but say you already have $50 million committed to players who aren't even on the team, not only are not on the team, might be out of baseball. You can't do business that way. And so there's only like three teams that could do it. And like, you know, like Steve, what's his face with the Mets?
Cohen.
Steve Cohen. He's a multi-billionaire because he's smart. He's not stupid. And you can't in a smart way do it. So I think it's the Dodgers, to be honest. I think it's a little desperation that they've been so good and have really, they delivered only one title and a lot of people don't think it's a legitimate
right.
title. Yep. So I think there's a ton of pressure on them to win a freaking championship. So I think I don't think it's going to spark a huge pattern. Will there be more deferred money involved in some of these deals? I do, but not something where it's like 95% of the salary.
Now, Yamamoto, he didn't get any money deferred. He got an upfront big bonus of $50 million signing bonus. Now, that could be another option for the big teams. Now, that I feel like if you have the means to do that, that would be the smarter choice because you're not paying, like you said, 10 years down the road and you're right. mortgaging your whole team. But most teams don't have $100 million just laying around to hand players. But that would make sense. Now, I say that because we all know that Soto is on the Yankees and he's going to be up for a deal after the year. And he said he's going to go to free agency. Now, do the Yankees, he's going to want more than Aaron Judge contract. We all know that based on what Ohtani got, based on his age, he'll be 26 years old. It's going to be, listen, Ohtani's getting paid $700 million to hit a baseball.
Right.
I'm the same age as him. I'm basically doing the same thing. He is not the global star, but you're gonna command more than Aaron Judge's $40 million. You're going to. It's just plain and simple. Now, the Yankees are going to have to come to a crossroads if the Garrett Cole stuff is true, which I don't believe it's true. And can they get creative with a Soto contract? Yes, I think so, because the Yankees could offer that money up front and make it more lucrative.
So you
and
think a big sign?
Dial that AAV down. So Judge is still the number one guy on the team, But, you know, maybe Soto gets $100 million up front.
I just feel, honestly, like it's every sports fan's dream to own a team. I'm glad I don't own a baseball team because these questions, you have to overpay to get what you want. You can't just pay market value. You have to overpay.
Right.
And so unless for some reason there's not a big market for someone like that, and there will be, but there's still only six teams who could afford, who are going to compete with the Yankees on Soto. So I don't know. I think, again, like, does Judge have to be the highest paid player?
But we don't know that because, like you said, you don't want to be in that position because you're not just talking about a number on somebody's back. You're talking about a human being, right?
Yep.
And think about it. If I'm sitting here and you and I are doing the show, right, and we're doing a show right now and someone walks in here and is like, oh, I like the way you sound. I want to offer you X number a year. And you're sitting over here like, I don't even make that much. What the hell's going on here? This guy doesn't. I've been around here for 6 years.
So you really think that might irk Judge? You really do?
I don't. Not necessarily, but you are talking about people's feelings. Yeah, and maybe that's a reason why that rumor is out there about Gerrit Cole. Why was there a rumor about Trevor Bauer not coming to New York because they didn't get along? Like, maybe there is that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff you got to factor in.
I just feel...
I don't think Aaron Judge is going to be that kind of person.
I feel like he's getting a lot of money and he wants to play baseball and win. I think he'd be okay with it, but you're right. You just don't know, and human nature is human nature.
I like the money talk, though. I think that's an interesting point because if you have the means to offer it on the front end as a lump and not take it and mortgage your future... Listen, the Dodgers are playing in dangerous waters here.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing in very dangerous waters.
I don't think they care, and I don't think it'll be a pattern, but I think they need to win. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. It makes me think, though, that perhaps, and I want to get into some predictions in a second, you know, baseball won't change like this because it won't happen, but it feels like they should do like a super division and maybe relegation is what you could do with an MLB. Like, I love relegation. I love the way the soccer works it in Europe, that
you dropped a AAA if you can't hack it.
No, but you can't do that in America because the gap is too great. And they're already affiliated with the major league team. So the only sport that it really works for is like college football. You could have like the top 20 and then 20 and 20 and 20.
Right.
And then you have a tournament at the top of bottom of each one. And then a couple go up and go down. That would be great for college football, in my opinion, especially since the dissolution of the major conferences. But so what is there, 30 or 32 in baseball?
30.
Yeah. So there's 30. Maybe you make a 15 and 15. And you have the World Series with the top tier, and the bottom three go down, and the top three go up. Because the truth is, like, Kansas City's never going to compete with the Dodgers unless they get an owner like a Russian oligarch or a Saudi sheik or whatever, you know. And so maybe that's a dynamic we should set up. I mean, they would never do it, but I think of all the pro sports in America, baseball is the best set. Football, anybody can do well. Anybody can win. The revenues are so flat. And then NBA, again, it doesn't seem like, you know, being in a smaller market hampers people salary-wise. And the NHL, whatever. And in baseball, there's a real difference. You don't see small market teams doing a whole lot unless they get, you know, on a whim. And Tampa's really, you know, look, I mean, I think their windows could be shot. So I don't know. I think it's a pretty fascinating concept.
My question to that one is, though, is you talk about two leagues with 15 teams each and the bottom can come up. That kind of eliminates like the worst of first teams, right? Because if you're like one of the worst teams in the league and you legit, your only chance is to get into the next tier, not to win the whole thing.
So what? So it's just the way it's been. So you mean because of the draft position or something?
No,
crap like
what
that?
I'm saying is you're gonna take. Let's just talk since the wild card was issued. Mm-hmm. You're gonna take probably 25 years now, something like that, 30 years almost. What, since 1990s?
Yeah.
You're gonna take that whole time and basically say like any one of those, a lot of those wild card teams were teams that wouldn't have been in your 15 tier class.
Correct.
And you're basically going to tell them, like, you had no shot. So the Yankees wouldn't have played the Marlins in 03. The Red Sox wouldn't have made it in, what, 13, 14? What was it, 13?
So what? This is 21st century. If you're in the lower tier, you got to finish in the top three to make it up to the big one and then make it to the bigs.
I mean, I think
you could even do, you could have, like, half a dozen games where the lower division plays the upper division to keep up with, like, it, you know, remember when they started with interleague play at the beginning? It was so fun because it was so new. You know, the Cincinnati Reds outside of 75 had never come to Fenway Park. You know, right. That's how, now who cares? It's really one league.
Right.
And so I think it would restore that kind of premium. And again, I'm throwing it out there. They won't do it. But I your whole worst to first thing, that doesn't matter to me. I mean, just because it happened in the past. So you could be.
But I think there's so much of that fan base of those teams that always hold out hope. The Pirates, the A's, the Royals, those teams, they always hold out hope. I feel like you're just like the Orioles until last year. I feel like you're gut punching that whole fan base, basically saying, sorry, you suck. Like,
no,
you suck,
but then
there's
get
no
better.
Hope for this year.
Right.
And if you play good this year, there might be some hope for next year, regardless if you had a better record than the team that won the World Series.
Yeah, I'm not buying what you're selling. I don't think it matters. I think that if you're in that lower tier, win, get up, and then go win it.
I'm going to volunteer you to put that in front of that Major League Baseball Players Association.
I'm going to write up. It'll never happen, but I love the idea. All right, John Sedical, Brian Shackman here. Let's do, I mean, we didn't even prepare for predictions, but I'll just say that early on, let's just do maybe, we don't even know the other divisions yet. We can't even talk about it. But when you think about the World Series,
we'll just pick the World Series. What two teams will be
Series? I mean, you know, I know the Texas Rangers won. I can't remember who they played now.
The Diamondbacks. That's your right. Worst to first team, buddy.
That's right. It won't happen ever again. I think the Yankees can make the World Series. I think the Astros are done. I don't think the Central has anything. And I don't think the Rangers will make it back. So I think there's a real opportunity for the Yankees to make it to the World Series. I don't know about Toronto. I don't want to get sucked in by them again. And I love the Orioles. I just don't know if they're a championship caliber team. But I think that, like, Orioles and Yankees to me are my top two AL teams.
I'm going to say yes with the Yankees, all depending on the pitching. I think the Yankees still have some moves to be made. I would like to see, I would not like to see as a Yankees fan, but I think he would mix very well in Baltimore, Jordan Montgomery. The fences have been moved back in left field in Baltimore the last 2 years. Yeah, I think he'd be a great fit for them. That would send a signal to their fan base that they want to win.
Yeah.
That might be the piece of the puzzle that they need, as long as the Grayson Rodriguez, maybe John Means comes back healthy.
Right. Means basically missed all of last year.
Yeah. So there's and of course, the exciting young players, the Holiday, it could come up, the Gunnar Hendersons and everyone else, the Rushmans. I like the Orioles, but I still think they need that extra piece. I don't think if the Yankees are healthy that they'll get by them if the Yankees pitching stays
healthy.
So you're
putting healthy. The Yankees in the World
Series? So if the Yankees pitching, I will put them in there. And I'm going to say the Dodgers, and this is what I'm going to say about the Dodgers. They're going to have a harder time than I think people think doing what they need to do, given the team they have right now, mm-hmm. to get there. That being said, if the Dodgers make the postseason, you will see Shohei Ohtani pitch in 2024.
Get out.
That's my prediction.
Wow. So if they make it?
If they make it and they're in the postseason, you will see Shohei Ohtani pitch in 2024.
I think that's pretty bold. I don't
if you're
see
paying someone $70 million.
But then one bad outing and his pitching career is over forever.
You just talked about it. World Series on the line. You got to win now. Huh. What if it's...
So would you pay... Then you're basically saying to somebody who's a multi-billionaire, the owners, would you pay $700 million for a World Series?
I think that if that storybook gets written like I just said, it's worth every single penny.
Interesting. All right. Let's wrap it up there. I think in the West, I think for the first time in a long time, I think even the dudes in the locker room are going to say, like, when they go against the Dodgers, I want to kick these guys' asses.
Yeah.
I do. I really think that it's going to be
like that.
They got
a bullseye on them.
Yeah.
I think.
No matter if it's Kansas City or it's the A's or in Seattle, it doesn't matter. I think people want to beat them. All right. Have a great new year, everybody. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.